You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Life for over 120,000 Japanese immigrants and Japanese Americans changed after Pearl Harbor in December of 1941. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066, which led to the detainment of those with Japanese descent, mainly on the West Coast, relocating them to internment or incarceration camps in California, Arizona, Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah. The majority were American citizens, and they couldn't appeal the decision. Many lost their homes and property as well. The stories of survival and rebuilding are still very much alive more than 80 years later. Uprooted, an American Story is an exhibit at the California Museum in downtown Sacramento, and it has evolved to meet the storytelling of today. The exhibit has new, never-before-shown artifacts from survivors, as well as an oral history of the Japanese-American experience, and even an opportunity for visitors to talk and ask questions to camp survivors. Steve Sasaki is one of the Time of Remembrance docents, allowing visitors to learn firsthand stories. Many of his family members survived mass incarceration, and he'll be holding Q&As at the museum starting tomorrow, Thursday, with additional dates in May. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. It's great to see you here in the studio. I'd love to start off with learning more about Uprooted, an American Story. Tell us about the exhibit.
Well, I think the exhibit is an exhibit that covers life before World War II and how the Japanese were immigrating to this country and actually doing quite well. And then the changes that occurred after World War II and their time through camp, and then eventually what it took to get them out of camp, and how a lot of those stories still apply to things that are going on in this country today. I think the effort behind the exhibit is not just to tell my story, my family's story, but to educate people about the vulnerabilities of their civil rights and how fear and anxiety can lead people to make, I think, very poor decisions.
You bring up a big, important point. It really depends on when the story begins. And the stories of Japanese Americans and Japanese immigrants in the United States does not begin after Pearl Harbor in 1941. Tell us about the role and the significance Japanese Americans have played on the United States.
Well, so often I do mention that when I lead tours through, because so often the story of Japanese starts with World War II. But if you look back historically, they started immigrating in the 1890s and came to this country, like so many immigrants, to start a new life, to raise families, to be successful. So they were quite successful coming over as farmers. And soon thereafter, there were a lot of discriminatory laws being passed. So limitations on immigration, limitations on citizenship, segregated schools, a number of different things that provided obstacles for the people coming over. But despite those obstacles, they were actually quite successful. So prior to World War II starting, estimates were between 35 and 40% of marketable produce on the West Coast was coming off of Japanese-owned farms, 70% of all cut flowers. So it became a huge economic threat in many ways, and I think that's what fed some of the racism, the anti-Japanese sentiments long before the war started.
What led you to become part of this exhibit, to be a docent, to share your family's story with the goal of just continuing to remind people of what happened with the goal of preventing it from happening ever again? How did you become part of this exhibit?
Well, after I retired, I was approached by someone who is a very active member and very convincing and said, you know, basically asked me, do I know my family history? I said, yes. And after I told her a little bit about it, she said, you have to do this. You have to continue the story. Because having docents like myself who are either children of or even survivors helps, I think, make the story, elevates the story to a higher level than just what pictures and words on walls do.
Hmm. What do you get out of it? If you keep doing it, you must get a tremendous amount out of it by talking to strangers and helping them learn.
I think what I get out of it is being able to be a voice for my family when they didn't have a voice, to educate the American public, at least locally, that it's a much bigger story than whatever gets presented in textbooks. Growing up, it was a paragraph in a textbook about what happened, but the stories of what happened to people are much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And to be able to pass it on and to have people understand, again, the similarities between then and the similarities to, you know, current day.
I would love to learn more about your family. Some of your family, they have roots here. They have ties to this part of Sacramento or the greater Sacramento area in Placer County, correct?
My grandfather was actually, my paternal grandfather was born in Hawaii. So he was actually a U.S. citizen at the time. He was also called Kibe, meaning that he lived there for about 6.5 months. Then they would send them to Japan to get educated because life for a baby on a farm was just too much. So he came back at age 14, 15 to continue to farm. He farmed. Eventually, my grandmother, his wife, came over. She was part of the picture brides. Because of limited immigration, the only way you can get people here were through the picture bride process. So she was actually a picture bride. He was also a veteran of World War I. He served in the U.S. Army as an Army Signal Corps individual, which is something I want students to understand, that prior to the war, we had a lot of Japanese serving in the military who were veterans or active in the military at the time the war broke out. So their loyalty to the country was there long before the war even started.
Mm. You mentioned that, I mean, a good chunk of his life was in Hawaii. When did your family come over to, I believe it's the Penryn Loomis area?
Right. I'm not sure. Again, getting information, like so many Japanese families, our parents did not talk a lot about this. I've learned stories, bits and pieces here and there, reading, doing my own research to try to fill in the gaps. So a lot of details I didn't get, and because they've long since passed, I have no way to go back and find out about it.
What did you learn about your family members during internment, incarceration?
Well, you know, again, life was difficult. On my mother's side, my grandfather was one of those who was picked up soon after Pearl Harbor by the FBI and sent to a federal prison in Bismarck, North Dakota for 8 months. They felt he was an enemy alien because he was the secretary of the local farmers association. So that was what made him a threat in their mind, held there, never charged with anything until he was returned to my mom's family in Poston, Arizona. So I have a lot of relatives who experienced a number of different situations like that.
You also have a family with ties to South America that was severely impacted during this mass incarceration. And I think that piece of history gets left out. Can you explain what happened?
It is a part of history that most people don't know about. What happened was my maternal uncle's wife was part of the people that were in Japanese in South America. The United States had an agreement with 6 South American countries to arrest all their Japanese, bring them to the United States, hold them in federal prisons, and use them as part of the prisoner exchange program. Because you didn't want to use Japanese citizens as part of the prisoner exchange, so they used Japanese from South America. So she was one of those that was sent to Japan, and her stories were that it was awful because she had never been to Japan, grew up in South America, she had an accent even though she spoke Japanese, so people in Japan knew she wasn't truly Japanese. So that experience was quite awful for her.
Mm. You mentioned that your family didn't talk much about what happened, and that is a common story, especially when people survive something as traumatic as that. When did you start getting some inklings that made you want to learn more and dive deeper into your family history?
I think as I became a young adult after college, just became more interested in learning about my family and where they came from and, you know, the family history. So I started exploring things. I have a document that has 200 years of our family history. So I want to learn more about it and certainly learn more about what happened with camp, since there was so much secretness about it, very little in schools taught about it, that I started doing my own exploration and then visiting like Manzanar and especially wanted to find out more about Tule Lake, because Tule Lake was one of the worst camps out of the 10 camps that were there.
How did your family, from what you can gather, rebuild? Many families lost everything. They only had days to make some kind of arrangement. How did your family rebuild after this?
Well, on my mom's side, it was very hard. So once they got out of camp, because no, when they got out of camp, they were given a train ticket and each family member $25 to start their lives all over again. And there were a lot of cities and areas that were redlined that they couldn't go back to, even if they wanted to. So on my mom's side, my grandfather moved from state to state trying to farm and really struggled. On my dad's side, the story goes, which my grandmother told my wife, she never told me, she told my wife, that she had saved thousands of dollars, kept it in her undergarments the entire time she was in camp so it wouldn't get stolen, so going to the showers and stuff late at night. So when she got out, she was able to go down to Los Angeles and buy a house, and they were able to start. But in terms of jobs and careers, it was still incredibly difficult because of, you know, the post-war sentiments toward people that were Japanese.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with California Museum docent Steve Sasaki about the newest version of Uprooted, An American Story. The exhibit is currently ongoing, and Steve's family connections and history of Japanese mass incarceration during World War II is being shared during Q&As that visitors can experience starting tomorrow through May. When it comes to the new editions of this exhibit, the exhibit has been around for quite some time, but now it's been evolving, you know, even adding some technology as well to enhance the experience so people understand and feel what happened during that time. Tell us about the new editions.
Well, I think the new editions include a controversial kind of section where certainly it spoke a lot about the 442nd, which was the military battalion that fought in Europe, the most decorated unit for its size in U.S. history, continues to be. But what it also talks about are some of the protests and things that occurred, like at Tule Lake, that occurred at Heart Mountain, where people stood up. So it included some of those delicate subjects. They're delicate in the sense that even in the Japanese community, talking about the no-no boys, those that were considered disloyal because of these two questions on this loyalty questionnaire. So that's part of the new exhibit, which I like because I think it balances those that showed patriotism one way and those that stood up to have a voice that, you know, our constitutional rights were being violated. The other aspect that's added there is the connection to, yes, we're telling you all this history and that's wonderful, but how does that connect to our current world? And we're quite explicit in talking about how the similarities between then and what happened right after 9/11 and the sentiments of the country wanting to lock up all anyone who is Muslim or even Sikhs, which I talk to students, which aren't Muslim, but because people think they are, that kind of thinking targets anybody that people are suspicious of. And how we were able, George Bush was able to prevent that from happening. But we come very close to repeating mistakes if we don't keep these stories alive.
Yeah. There's currently a reparations task force for Californians who are descendants of slavery. And this is a task force that has gone on for 2 years. There have been hundreds of hours of testimony. There's now a completed report. And I do know that there were Japanese Americans who were descendants of mass incarceration that have testified on behalf. And so when you bring up wanting to prevent what happened from happening again, how does the timeliness of where we stand now today as a society, what does that signify to you?
Well, I think what's nice is the Japanese community has been very involved since 9/11 with the Arab community. They've been involved down at the southern borders with the separation of kids, that they've taken on other causes that aren't related just to Japanese, but really looking at this is a multicultural issue. This is an issue for people of various cultures and beliefs. So I'm very proud that as a Japanese, we've gone beyond just looking after our group, but looking at how different policies and stuff and actions affect everybody and people's civil rights overall. So it's been very active in that.
Finally, you're going to be holding Q&As and guided tours starting tomorrow, and there's a couple dates in May as well. We have all of that information on our Insight page. What would you like visitors to get out of it?
I think it'd be nice to have them come down and hear the stories, because certainly talking to someone there brings the stories to a different level of meaning than just reading the documents on the wall. And this is something that I do throughout the year. So you have dates. They only put out dates 2 months in ahead because I'm either there or not. But it is something that, for the most part, is the first Saturday and the third Thursday of every month that I try to be there and speak basically to anyone. And along the way, met a lot of wonderful people. And I think it's for me to share this and educate adults about what happened and have people think about how fragile our civil rights are and begin looking at there are connections. Because even if you think about 9/11, it's so many years ago, it begins to fade in people's minds. And how do you keep these stories alive so that people don't forget about it and in forgetting about it are at risk of making the same mistake again?
Steve, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, it's a wonderful museum. I will like to say that beyond Uprooted, we have several exhibits that are similar to that. So Gold Mountain, Women Inspire. So it does talk about a number of different groups in California, their contributions, their struggles. So I think it's a much broader, eclectic museum than just saying it's Uprooted and it's a Japanese story.
I completely agree. Steve Sasaki is a docent at the California Museum, and we have been speaking about his family's personal experiences of surviving mass incarceration during World War II and how he folds those stories into the tours of one exhibit at the museum that's called Uprooted, An American Story at the California Museum. Steve will be holding Q&As at the museum starting tomorrow morning, Thursday, with additional dates in May, and we have a link on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.